don't know, man. It's kind of weird. But it's been a pretty cool part of my journey in life thus far that I've been able to help out a lot of people along the way. And it's something that they, as time goes on, they come back and reach out to me. And they I don't know how they find their way. They'll find me on social media. They'll find me in some sort of way. And they'll say, hey, man, you know, I was just thinking about you, so on and so forth. And then, you know, we get in a conversation about how, you know, how they're doing. And a lot of things that they're reflecting back on our time that we engaged or that we had a connection. And they're saying, you know what, you're right in a lot of things. And I don't get off on being right on anything. It's more of being there for people, but they don't even know how deep in the mud they are with their issues. And I love that because I like being there for people because I never had that growing up. Like, I never had that when I was going through some tough moments trying to figure life out. I couldn't turn to my mom and talk to her because she would talk to everybody. She wouldn't really give me any advice. I didn't have a dad. I didn't have any family support. I didn't have any support of people that I felt comfortable or trusted enough to convey whatever feelings I had, and they would be able to help me. It's lucky that I see now on social media the movement of making the culture or people that are not able to have outlets to talk to make it cool, to make it cool to go see therapy, to go and talk to somebody out there professionally. You know, and I know that's kind of a stigma that people feel inferior and they don't have their shit together, or that I don't like talking to strangers about things. I get it. But I've taken on that mantle a long time ago, starting in college. And it's something that I've always enjoyed, helping people that I run into. And I don't know why I just went on that ramble about it, but it was cool because someone that I had a connection with a while back, and they went batshit crazy. And I was like, dude, like, you got to go figure out your shit. And, you know, many years later, here they are reaching out to me again. And we're touching base and we're talking, and, you know, now they're in their third marriage, and, you know, they're still feeling those same fears that they had before, the same red flags that I saw that made me realize that I can't deal with you. Because in this case, this person was somebody that was very, very clingy, and it was very suffocating. And I would say to myself, goodness, like, this person is the classical, they couldn't be alone for much of their time. They had to be in a relationship, they had to be in a commitment, and it had to be sped up to marriage. Lo and behold, she's in a third marriage now, and she's talking to me. And she says she had a breakthrough. And she tells me how she was listening to a podcast, not this one, but that she was learned about a matter called anxious attachment. And she sends me an excerpt of it, and I was like, oh, very interesting, let me read it. She goes, adults with anxious attachment style are, adults with an anxious attachment style are often afraid of or even incapable of being alone. They seek intimacy and closeness and are highly emotional and dependent on others. The presence of the loved one appears to be a remedy for their strong emotional needs. And that goes to show you that there, that is so prevalent in our dating culture, in our relationship culture, that there is a high level of attachment, but not because you really are infatuated with the person. It's more because of your anxiousness or your fear of being alone, of being codependent with somebody else being in your life, and in a way where it's not healthy. And I knew with her, you know, you kind of know these. I always talk about how in life, it's always gray. There's different ranges to it. And when it comes to clinginess, there's different ranges to it too. And I know that she was very high on that stage 5 clinger. But it was a very fascinating thing because now all of a sudden here many years later, she's like in, you know, gone through all the 2 marriages, and now here she's reaching out to me and just talking to me about these things. And having that self-epiphany is a very important thing. I feel that's one of the main reasons why I don't switch labels or get a psychology degree or anything like that. You know, it's mostly, it's weird because I'm a jack of all trades. I love business. I love sales. I love art. I love a little bit of everything. I'm really a person that is, when you think of the word eclectic, I feel that defines me. But I think it's very, very fascinating, though, that people, in a little bit of my anecdotal experiences with dealing with people and helping them when they need someone to listen to them, is that I understand that people, they're not ready to receive the information. So many times what I will realize in giving dating advice is one where I would say to them, hey, I know you were clouded by love, by your feeling of love, but this person's actions are not showing you that they're loving you the same way that you're loving them. Red flag. And it's like one of those things that, but it's very hard because that person takes that personal. You know, I had a conversation with somebody else recently about that, you know, about their situation. And I was like, they just got tired of it. They were like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's like, I know it's hard to accept the reality of something, because what I've realized in relationships and in dating in general is that people get fixated on an outcome. And when people get fixated on an outcome they want with a person, they'll do some crazy shit. And when I realize that's the case, I really get very sensitive about being around that person. Like, if I know the person objectively really wants to be with me, I'm like, because, and vice versa, you know, I always suggest to people that people are variables you can't control, okay? No matter how much you love somebody, you can't make them love you as much. And what happened with me giving advice was people trying to figure out the Rubik's Cube. It wasn't about me telling them the truth of what their reality was. It was more of saying, hey, how can you make this guy that I like very much like me as much as I like him? Or it'll be a guy that's really trying to chase a girl, and it's very evident that she friend zoned him, but he's very obsessive because everything in life, he put his mind to it, he can get it, so he feels that he can do the same in a relationship. And relationships and business and other objectives in life, totally mutually exclusive. That's one thing that I always tell people, that when it comes to people being with one another, you can't force that. You can't. And you can't force somebody to love you as much as you love them. And no one can force you to love someone as much as they love you. And if that changes, or if that grows, or that diminishes, you have to accept it. It's like the current of the winds, or the waves, ocean waves, I should say. I don't know. I'm trying to be cool about it. But you get what I'm saying, is that you can't, you have to go with what you're getting from that person. All you can do is just be who you want to be with the person. But if they're not reciprocating that, then you can't impose your will on that. Maybe it's worked for some people, but I think generally speaking, you create a lot of heartaches for yourself. You create a lot of stress. You create a lot of things that you have no control over. And I think for this girl, when I was talking to her about it, it was her realizing that, you know, she has an issue. And she remembers me talking to her a little bit about that. But I told her that the one thing about it is that what I realized a long time ago was that you can't make somebody drink the water. You can lead them to it. And that's what happened in her case and in many other people, is that you could tell them what you see. And I'm not a person that is very biased, or when I talk to somebody about their issues, I am very empathetic. So I try to understand their point of view, how they feel, so on and so forth. So I try to like not just blow it off. You know how like when you go to your friends and they'll be like, hey man, that girl, man, I really like her. And they'll be like, fuck that motherfucker. Don't talk to him. Don't talk to her, man. Fuck her. Man, go ahead and have a drink. You know, like, they're just very dismissive about your feelings, where I understand that you have built a special connection with this person that you want to continue in your life in a very exclusive way. Totally get it. But if it's not mutual, the desire isn't mutual, then it's not something you can force. Like, there's been so many times in my life where I always tell everybody, I'm the friend zone president, because I understand that the way I am doesn't make women feel fully secure about, or they're going to be missing pieces that they think they're missing out on. Even though I'm being fully genuine and caring and all these different things, they want to feel this romance or certain things, right? Like, I know there's pieces missing that they're trying to experience in a relationship, but they still view me as a great guy, so they friend zone me. All right, okay. I didn't get that in the beginning when I was young. When I was young, dating in my 20s, I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, friend zone, nice. You know, and I'm still having feelings over them, and they're just using me to go on a date to get another guy jealous, or they're just using me for my ride, or they're using me for trips, or whatever it is. They're using you just to kind of get some attention. You know how it is. It's like, I'm not, it's just the way life is. It's the way women are. And but it's very fascinating to me and very fulfilling in a way where people, the light bulb switch goes off. And in this case in point, that's what it is with this girl. It's like, okay, she realizes that she has an issue. Like, she realizes that her ways of being is based on an anxious attachment that she has, you know, seeking intimacy and closeness. It's like, because they just feel a certain level of fear and needing those emotional needs constantly met. So, and what I was telling her was, great, you figured out what you have and you're accepting it. Now it's finding out the root cause of that. What's causing you to feel this anxiety and to feel this dependency on being with somebody else, but to a level where it's clingy? And those are answers that don't come overnight. Those are answers that you have to figure out as that light bulb goes off. But that's what people have to, it's like with my daughter, when it comes to certain things that I tell her. I was telling her this today, we were at the doctor's, they were just talking about her weight, we just kind of do some things, but it was like, I tell the doctor, it's like, and I told Jasmine, it's like, Jasmine does not pay attention to anything I say. She thinks I ramble too much. And the thing about it is that she's not, it goes out one ear and out the other. So I know that my word doesn't have any value. I say it because I think it's important. Because I know what's going to happen is, when I'm long and gone and she's trying to figure life out, she's going to remember a lot of those conversations I was having with her. And she's going to be crying like, Dad, you were so right. Dad, you were so right. Man, I'm so sorry. You were so right. But it's hard in the moment to accept what I'm telling you, even though it's coming from a good place, because I don't have no horse in the race. It's not like I have evil intentions. I just have a good ability to read your flaw in the moment, or what you're dealing with. Like, just like I'm able to see my flaws in how I am as a person and be able to understand the why and be able to just minimize those things from being flare-ups. And people are not ready for that truth. I always say that. People, when you talk about, I mean, for me, I can only say from my end, about women wanting honesty. It's the honesty that they want to hear. It's not necessarily the honesty they need to hear. You understand? It's not the honesty they want to hear. It's the honesty they need to hear, which is a realistic point of view, because, and it's not the answer they want to hear, but it's what they need to hear. And that's where the fallacy comes in. And then many, many years later, after many, many struggles, in this case in point, woman being married for a third time, since I met her, she was like married. I think she was going to be married for a second time. And now she's on the third one. And now you're realizing, okay, I'm still having the same feelings in my relationships as I did before. And these are different guys. Hey, hello. It starts with you. Like, all of our issues start with us. That's the thing that we don't realize, is that all the shit that's going on in our lives, it's happening because of us as people. Because we're not cleaning up our shit. And that's what I was telling her. It's like, I know that I've pretty much cleaned up a lot of my issues and currently working on them. And I don't feel that it's something that many people don't do in their life, I guess is what I'm saying. And it's a very saddening thing, because I was telling her, it's not that I am in a bad place. I've always been in a great place, because she complimented me on the fact that every time I've talked to you, you've always been different. You've always been in a great perspective and good stuff, right? And but at the same time, I tell her, it's not, I don't worry about me and my space. I focus more on the world around me, because I have to be cognizant of people's energy and people's state of minds entering my space. One person can fuck it all up. They really can. And I try to be very conscientious about that reality, that people don't have their shit together. And they run around and they try to tell you they do, and they try to even convince themselves that they got their shit together. But as time goes on, you realize they don't. And that's what I worry about all in my life journey. It's not even about myself, because the beautiful thing is I hold myself accountable. If I fuck up, I fuck up. I'm like, you know, I fucked up. You know what? That didn't go well. You know what? I need to do better. But there's people out there that go through their lives and don't have that self accountability. They don't have that ability to say, you know what? I'm flawed, man. I'm fucked up. I gotta be better about these things or whatever. You know, whatever these things are that gnaw at you. That's why I can go to sleep well. I mean, right now, the only thing that's gnawing at me is fucking going to the gym. Dude, like I saw my license. It's like I took a picture of my license versus a couple months ago. Oof, boy, I'm going to be fat as fuck. I got to go ahead and get on it. But you get the point. I mean, it's just so, it's, you know, it's real cool when you talk to people throughout the journey of life and they appreciate the things that you've done for them. They appreciate the conversations that you had and the things that you try to do to help them. But they realize that they have to help themselves at first. It starts with them acknowledging. It's like what they say about the Alcoholic Anonymous. Like, you have to admit that you're an alcoholic. You have to admit that you have an issue. You have, if you don't want to admit that, because the world around you, people around you, are acting the same way, then that's fine. You know, like I had to clean house. I had to make sure that I minimized the people in my life. I mean, I had somebody else just recently that came at me like and was wanting, talking about how they were going to show up last minute to my house just to hang out. I'm saying to myself, I don't work like that. I you didn't get the memo, but I'm not like that anymore. Now I'm not gonna drop everything for you, and because you want to come hang out and have a good time. Now, you know, Minnow used to be that guy before, but not anymore, and you're not gonna force me to. And if you can't deal with it, kick rocks. And it's sad, because that don't, when you realize you surround yourself with people like that, that really don't give a fuck about you as a person. They don't give about your space, about your routine, and they just want to superimpose their selfish desires over your way of living, and they want you to clear your slate. It's like I said, those are the kind of people that I surrounded myself with, because when I was giving, I realized this, that me being selfless, or me being a wingman, or me being a person that complimented them, their agenda, they found value in me. But now that I don't do that anymore, now that I've set boundaries, now that I'm saying, you know what, you go do you. You want to do what I do? Cool. Now they don't find value in you anymore. So therefore, they don't reach out to you. They don't contact you. They don't view you the same. And then they view you as being jaded, being angry. And I'm like, okay, I understand that. But you see what I'm saying is that I've learned like what's happened in my life and made changes to make sure that those frustrations are minimized. And it's good to see people, both men and women, having those epiphanies in their lives, because that's what it's all about, in my opinion. I think you have to grow and learn. But part of it is having self-accountability and saying to yourself, man, I am this way. That really is me. And there's no shame in that. And I hope that, you know, I saw, and I'll leave with this. I saw this thing from David Goggins that said, you know, like, once I realized that everyone was fucked up, it's just that people hide their fucked upness better than I do, then I didn't give a fuck what anybody says. And that's exactly how I feel. It's like, when he was saying that, that's exactly me. I was like, when you realize that in this world, people are all fucked up. People are dealing with their issues. People have their challenges. It's just that people are better at hiding it. And people are worried about, or people that want to talk shit about you and are judging you, they're just as fucked up as you are. They're just as fucked up. But they're just better at hiding it. And they're better at, and they do it to make themselves feel better about how fucked up they're not. You know, that's why bullies are the way they are. Because deep inside, they have hurt. Their parents haven't loved them. They haven't had the life that they've wanted to have. So therefore, they're kicking ass and taking names as a way of an outlet to their frustration that they're dealing with, right? And hurt people. So it's a very, when you get to this level of, I don't want to say enlightenment, but it's like a awareness of the world around you. And knowing, you know, now what I was telling this girl, it's like, you know, I've never been constrained by the rules of society. Like, I've always questioned why. Why do I have to get married right away? Why do I have to have kids right away? Why is it that people think getting married is the happiest you're going to be? Why is it, you know, why, you know, I just question shit like that. Like, why? It's like, but why is it that priests, you know, I see priests and Buddhist monks and other people in the other worlds that they seem fucking happy. I read studies of people being happy and not necessarily married. You know, it's like this whole notion of you have to conform to what these rules are, but they don't necessarily, it's not one size fits all. So it's a very weird and fascinating thing, you know, when you wake up and you take that blue pill, whatever the fuck it is, not in the Matrix, I don't even remember, but, and you see the world differently, and you're like, okay, cool, I get it, you know, I'm gonna go, you know, right now I love my life as is because I like my balance of life and work. Very thankful for my opportunity. I work, but I have the opportunity to be a dad and be around my daughter's moments all the time. It's a beautiful thing. And that's the part where, for me anyway, it's why I try to help people when they come along my way. Now, I also have learned to minimize the interaction. You don't let them drown you. People will drown you when you're going through tough times. People will not give a fuck about your life and your balance if they're going through something. So I only give that to very few people. I think that's probably less than a handful right now. Because those people have been there for me when I needed them. And that's something that I've always going to extend to them. But the other people, it's like, no, that shop is closed. And it's something that at the end, you have to learn these things on your own, unfortunately. Like I always say this, people learn two ways. People learn from others, or people learn the hard way.